The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey girl, hey, welcome to Taste of Taylor, my weekly podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Strecker. You might know me from Sirius XM Radio. I mean, I was there for like 12 years after all. But then Howard Stern allegedly got jealous of me, so I had to leave. I was actually able to pull myself up by the bootstraps and start my own podcast, Taste of Taylor, which is now officially with Dear Media. I'm so excited to say that. Ha! So I promise you in this podcast, you're going to either learn about something, you're going to be inspired by someone that's like always coming from a perspective of like humor, then this is the place for you. I hope you enjoy this little snack.
This is Amanda Hirsch from the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. You might know me from Not Skinny But Not Fat on Instagram, where I spend my time talking about reality TV, celebrities, everything happening in pop culture. I also talk to some of our favorite celebs and reality TV stars. We talk about what's going on. Tune in every Tuesday and just feel like you're talking with your best friends in your living room.
I'm so excited that Nico Tortorella is here.
You did that good.
Tortorella. I want to talk to you about this.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about it.
I always thought in my mind, I was like, Nico Tortorella. Like, I was just saying it. And I was like, Bronx. I'm for sure saying it wrong, but it's not. I'm saying it right the whole time.
Nico Tortorella. Tortorella.
And then I just learned that it means...
Turtle dove. Yeah. The dove flies through lots of things in our life.
How do you say turtle in Italian?
No idea. Tortor?
Dove of the turtle. And that's why you named your baby.
That is Kilmer Dove Myers Tortorella.
And Kilmer is your wife's
mom's maiden name,
and Dove is from the Tortorella.
Correct. Yes.
Damn.
Yeah, we always knew we wanted to use both of our mom's maiden names for first names for kids.
Are your moms like super honored?
Yeah, I think they're like equally a little bit confused by it, because they're not like standard names,
right?
But I mean, surprise surprise, we pick non-traditional names for our kids.
Well, Dove,
you know?
Isn't like crazy.
No,
right?
Yeah.
But do you call your baby all the time Kilmer Dove?
We call her all sorts of things.
Like what?
Killer, kills.
It's kill.
Silly Killy, Dove.
Kill, does she love kill you Bill. So much?
Oh yeah, it really is the best in the whole world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a different person because of it. I always knew that I was going to be a dad, for sure.
Yeah.
That was a given. And, you know, Bethany and I have been doing some sort of this relationship for, we're coming up on 18 years.
That's literally insane.
Yeah.
You met in college?
Yeah, 2 days after I moved out of my parents' house.
And she wasn't into you?
No. No, not at all.
Really?
She was, like, basically engaged to this other guy and...
Basically, what, at 18, she was basically...
She was older. She was 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, big difference here.
Yeah, MILF.
Yeah, no, she had just moved to Chicago from St. Louis, outside of St. Louis, and she was in a pretty serious relationship, and we met, and we were playing beer pong, and one of the first things she said to me was, I can never imagine myself with anybody else, and I said, okay, you're up. Let's go, beer pong.
and since then?
Yeah.
So you didn't really get to experience, like, the famous celebby part of your life single?
I mean, I did.
Because of the open relationship?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't been exclusively in a relationship for 18 years. We were best friends always. First, yeah. I was on a show called Make It or Break It, ABC Family show. I mean, there were a few different things that I was kind of circling when I moved to LA. But yeah, that was my first series regular job. And it brought me here. When I was 20 years old.
To New York.
Moved to New York at 20.
You give like Brooklyn, New York.
I'll take it. I mean, I'm from Chicago. Italian, from Chicago.
But now you're different. A Florida.
I am. We made the jump.
And how does it feel?
A dream, honestly.
Yeah?
The like public response of it all is complicated. Everyone wants to give their opinion on what Florida is.
Wait, like people on the internet
say
you're in Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, yes, it's safe for you, but it's not safe for your daughter or your wife or... You know, not white people. And like, I understand everyone has opinions right now, but it has been a dream. It has been an absolute dream.
Do you stand out in a place like Stewart, right?
No. I mean, we kind of stand out everywhere we go.
Not New York.
I mean, in certain places, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Florida more, no?
Yes and no. I mean, like, I have the ability to code shift and fit into different groups of people pretty easily. I'm like in a trucker hat and I'm fishing 60% of the time at this point. So
that's a new hobby.
Yeah. I mean, I always grew up fishing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. With my dad and my stepdad.
Do you eat it?
We do. Yeah.
Oh, you fish to eat?
Fish to eat.
Really?
Catching crabs and fish and all sorts of things. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. We live on this little island and we have the river in our backyard and then the ocean kind of in our front yard. It's like the very thin part of this island. And I've never lived near ocean like this before.
How did you decide on Stewart?
We were looking to buy for like the last year and a half. The majority of our family on both sides have kind of all, you know, migrated down south in the last 5-10 years, really. And we don't have any family in New York and really on the East Coast at all. And after we had Kilmer, it was just kind of this thing like, what are we doing? We're not supposed to do this alone. And none of our friends really have kids. We were the first ones to really do it. And we went down to Florida at like when she was 3 months old, spent time with family, and that was it.
So we started looking at houses. How close are your parents?
My mom's an hour.
Oh.
Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does she help?
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, she's there all the time.
She's there all the time.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, my mom's one of my best friends. We have an incredible relationship.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I remember there was a time where you talked that it was like a bit complicated.
Yeah,
you.
I mean, I think, you know, everyone has a period of time, but I think like in the majority of really my time in the public eye, that was a thing that like was very explosive and everyone wanted to talk about it. But for the most part, it's been great.
I feel like people, you're talking about like when you came out with the polyamory stuff and everything.
All the Michigas.
And all the Michigas. How do you know that word? You have some Jew in you?
I grew up in the North Shore of Chicago. Come on.
Did that annoy you to have to like talk about that all the time? About like your relationship and the polyamory? And I saw like interviews, people would ask you like, what is gender fluid?
Yeah.
What does it mean to be non-binary? Like, did you feel like it was annoying to have to explain that all the time?
I mean, at the time, no, it wasn't. You know, it was and is such a part of who I am. And I think in 2018, when I started having these conversations, even before that, like there weren't a whole lot of people talking about identity in that way, at least not front facing. And it became this thing where like I was the one that was talking about it and people wanted to get into the weeds. And it was fun for a while, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like looking back at it, would I do things differently today? Yeah, for sure.
Like in the way you opened up about it, you mean?
Yeah.
What would you do differently?
I think it's so easy in having conversations around identity to draw these hard lines. And like really from the get of my approach, there was a sense of fluidity to it all. That like, this is where I am now, but who knows where I'm going, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after trying to conceive for a couple years and then going through IVF and like examining our biologies intensely and then getting pregnant and having a miscarriage and then, you know, being so close to Bethany while she was pregnant and then having a home birth and like giving birth in a tent in our living room. Like,
of course, because how else would you guys do it?
Right. It just like it puts, and also on top of that, COVID, revolution, like the entire world has been flipped upside down.
Yeah.
And ours has too. You know, it's just like I'm a different person and I look at the body differently after those experiences.
Like in what way? How do you look at it now?
Well, it's just, it's very clear to me that like, it's complicated.
The sperm.
Yeah, that there are
there is biology.
There is biology. Mm. There are two types of bodies.
Yeah.
There's not just two, but there are two types of bodies that when they come together can create a baby, right? And I just was like forced to look at it in a much different way. And now that I'm raising a daughter and, you know, the world is what it is and the conversations around identity have changed so much in the last few years. Everything is like way more politicized than it was even when I was having this conversation. I just think that like there's more room for grace in these things. Mm. And also like I am less important in the larger conversation than I felt like I was a few years ago.
Mm.
Like I just don't put as much energy into like who I am and how I fit into the world.
Right. Cause you're like waking up to a baby and
And like the whole world fell apart and we're putting the pieces back together. Like what the fuck am I?
You know,
it like doesn't really matter to me as much.
I get you.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, when I, because I watched Younger like a couple years late and binged it all. And I feel like I was like, you guys, I'm watching Younger. I shared it with, you know, Instagram. Like, oh my God, Josh, this, that, you know, and I feel like DMs exploding. Mm. Like, look up the actor. Like, you'll be shot. You know what I mean? Like, did you know
you think
that?
You know him. Yeah, you think have no you, idea.
He's not like Josh at all, you know? And I feel like that was such the vibe. Yeah. Like, anyone who watched the show a little bit later or caught, you know, binged it or whatever, one of the first things people would say was like, look up the actor. It's not what you think. It's not like Josh, you know? And
I am very much so like Josh, though. I mean, it's just like, yeah, totally. Part of me is him, you know? I like represent a lot of what he represents. I think my ability to have those conversations at that time was also anchored by Josh. I was seen in the throughout the world as this like super straight cis white dude who was like cool and dating older women.
Yeah.
And like because of that, it made it a lot easier for me to like have, you know, non-conventional queer conversations. You know, if I was like playing super queer on TV and also having these conversations, like I wouldn't have had the reach that I had because of where I was.
Right.
I had this like safety net of sorts.
So did it make you feel any type of way, though, knowing these conversations were going on, like knowing the Googling was out of control about your personal life? And it was just, I remember to me, it was like so wild. Like I was watching the show, you know, obsessing over, you know, Josh and Liza.
Liza, yeah.
And all the DMs were like, you have to see, oh my God, he's in this kind of relationship. And by the way, the pronouns are all welcome
at this point. Yeah, I'm very much so dad and Bethany is very much so mom. Yeah. So it's just changed the language in our house.
So, yeah, I remember that was wild. So I was thinking like what it must, like how would it feel for you to know that like that's what everybody like was thinking a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it was part of the moment of our lives, you know, like at the end of the day, I don't regret anything that we talked about or the experiences that I had or like, you know, the people that I got into these types of conversations with. It just, I'm excited for the work to speak to for itself at this point, you know, like that's a part of who I am.
Yeah.
By no means is that all of who I am.
Right.
And yeah, I'm just a different person now.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you a little bit about New York. You're back in New York.
Yeah, I am.
You're like, you know, sharing on Instagram.
She is alive on Instagram right now.
She's alive. She's thrifting.
That thrift haul. This is the shirt that I got at the thrift store.
Meanwhile, that shirt is thrift. The Gucci.
The Guccis are also thrifted, by the way.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. Not from Unique in Union City, New Jersey, but yeah,
Wait, that thrift store was in Union City, New Jersey?
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
We had a house in Weehawken.
Oh.
And we're closing on it right now. So it's just this big
closing sale.
Yeah, sale.
I thought you were living upstate New York.
We have a house that we're selling up there too.
Damn, you made the rounds.
Younger baby.
Younger baby. Wait, how was upstate New York though? Because it seemed like your vibe, like woodsiness a little bit.
Yeah, upstate was lovely. It was exactly where we were supposed to be. We bought before COVID, so we were able to spend all of 2020 up there. And like, we had 33 acres in this like majestic hillside that just felt like this bubble, like nothing else existed while we were up there.
Cause probably nothing else really exists up there.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, there's, you know, people think New York is this like really liberal place and everyone is so friendly everywhere, but you get outside of the city and that's just not the case.
Not the case.
No, it gets real conservative real fast.
Wait, and there's like Weehawken is random.
Weehawken, it just came down to the house. We were looking throughout all of New York, Brooklyn, Harlem, the Bronx, and it took a second for me to convince Bethany to kind of like, let's just go look over on the other side of the river. And I'd never even really been over there. I think I'd like been to Jersey City once. And I don't know if you know anything about Weehawken, but like,
I don't.
Basically, if you're on 42nd and you look west, right, you can see all these like houses up on the Hudson.
Yeah.
And it's this like little tiny community. There's like a few blocks that have these incredible 100-plus-year-old houses that are on this little hillside looking out to the greatest view of Manhattan that exists. Like I just can't believe I lived here for so long and I had no idea that I could have that and be closer to the city than when I was definitely in Brooklyn. I mean, even when I was like living in Financial District, the time that it would take me to get to Midtown for anything was more than it is being in Weehawken.
Really?
Way more.
Damn, you're really promoting Weehawken.
Honestly, if we stayed for longer, I may.
Yeah.
Try to run for office in Weehawken.
Well, you know, they do say that the city is the most beautiful from the outside of the city.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I've lived in Brooklyn. I mean, I was down in South Williamsburg on Kent with the view from down there. But the view.
Very Josh.
Very Josh. Yeah. I was like around the corner from his, from his apartment for years. Yeah. While we were filming.
You filmed here. That's fun.
I've been filming here for 15, 16 years.
Wait, you were going to say upstate New York felt very conservative.
It can. Uh-huh. I mean, there's pockets, right, that like are more open. But I mean, there's like, you know, more Confederate and Trump flags up there than other parts of the country.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you see yourself growing old in Florida?
I mean, for the time being, it works for us. Our quality of life down there is just, it's non-comparable. I mean, just like going to the grocery store here is a job, right? Like everything is easy.
Why is grocery shopping easier?
I mean, we live in this like very sleepy little town that like, I mean, we're the youngest people in this neighborhood by far. Yeah. And it just is like, you get in your car, you drive a few blocks down, you go to the grocery store, you come back, you're at the pool, you're at the beach, you know, I go paddleboarding. Like, I'm on vacation full time.
That's wild. Full-time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is it where we're going to wind up forever?
I don't know.
I don't know. Let's see what happens in the world in the next 10 years. I think a lot is going to change very, very quickly. Especially,
is there an airport in Stuart?
Palm Beach.
Okay, you drive there.
Yeah, and we're 40 minutes.
Oh, 40 minutes. Yeah. Okay. You're up to a lot right now. Did you plan for all this to kind of happen at the same time?
Right at the eclipse.
That's it, right at the eclipse?
No, I didn't. I really didn't.
Because you have a new kids book coming out.
Yeah, All of It Is You.
All of It Is You. I have it. I love it. Thank you. I read it to my son, Noah. Aww. It's so cute.
It's sweet, isn't it?
Very. Yeah. Tell me how you thought to write a children's book.
I wrote it in 2020. I had a lot of time, as we all did. And I always knew that there was a children's version of this idea of All of It Is You, which was my first poetry book and kind of like has become this mantra of my life, that we are a mirror of the universe in its entirety. And I really wanted like a very simple version of that as a legacy to leave for my kids. We were actively working on trying to get pregnant. Mm. And I was just messing around, just writing a bunch of stuff. And we got it together. We brought it over to Random House and they wanted to do it. And kids' books take a long time.
Really?
A long time.
Because of the illustrations and
illustration, stuff? Just publishing in general, like everything moves pretty slow, right?
So it's wild to you that you were working in 2020 and now it's coming out in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, the version that I would write now after I had a kid would be different. It just would.
What would you add? What would you change? Because the messaging.
Well, the whole book takes place in Weehawken, like visually. They're like on a hill looking out to the city. And I think there would be a few more palm trees and like maybe a kayak at this point, some marlin. But yeah, I mean, the message is very, very simple, really, at the end of the day. It's like this age old saying, you can be anything you want to be when you grow up, right? Mm-hmm. Let's flip that. You already are everything you could ever imagine. What does it mean to tap into that? It's up to you. Mm. Just this unfettered freedom to raise your children with.
Yeah.
That's the goal for all of it. And also like a TV show and other kids' books and the universe of Olivet.
And the universe of Olivet. Mm-hmm. Do you read it to baby Kilmer?
I do. She's into it. She's, you know, a one-year-old with books is not the easiest thing in the world. But she definitely knows that it's our book. Like she'll sit with that book way more than anything else. And the music too. Like, I wrote all of this music while we were pregnant. So she's been hearing these songs for the last 2 years, really.
Yeah.
And anytime one song comes on, I mean, it is party time.
So funny, today my son was like picking up the book and he was like, who wrote this? Which is so random. Like he's never. I'm
really?
Like, isn't that a weird question for a kid to ask?
How old is he?
He's 3.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like. And I didn't know to get into like the fact that I'm meeting him today. You know, I was like, what's too much information? But then I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know that you can see that here. Mm. And then he found the picture in the bag. And I was like, no, he's super into it.
It's so sweet.
And I love the messaging. It reminds me a little bit theme wise of what's that book called? I'm blanking out. Pregnancy Brain. All Bodies. There's that book. You would love it.
I don't know.
And it's like all bodies, big bodies, small bodies, little bodies, hairy bodies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like all these messages that are out now that are so different than how we grew up, you know?
Yeah.
And he also came out with a single.
It did. Grapefruit.
It's out. Grapefruit.
A couple weeks ago.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's been so fun.
So it's giving a little Harry Styles.
I'll take that. I mean, I'm not mad about that comp at all.
Does it?
I mean, like watermelon, grapefruit.
Right.
Also like peaches, you know, it's like just a bunch of fruity folk.
But you started saying like, what are you grapefruit for?
What are you grapefruit for? Yeah.
So is it that vibe? Like, is it the grateful vibe?
I think it's a few different things. Really, like the inception of this music came from being pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I was working on City on Fire on Apple TV, which I played a rock star, and we recorded like 6 or 7 songs. And it was my first time ever being in a music studio, like seriously. And I would spend more time in the studio on that job than on set. And I could like really develop this character through his voice. And I just found this flow that like you don't usually find in TV at all. And jokingly at the end of the season, I formed this like incredible relationship with the producer in that studio. And I was like, I don't want to leave. Can we just keep making music?
Really?
And he welcomed it with just open arms. Like, damn. I could not have done this without him.
How was City on Fire? Because you filmed with Jemima.
I did.
She
I
was on my
Jemima.
Show. Yeah. She said she loves you too.
She's really sweet. We feel like there is a deep soul connection that goes a long, long way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you like in touch?
Oh, we keep in touch. Yeah, not like crazy, but yeah. We check in. She's a professional shopper as well.
Professional thrifter, you mean?
Thrifter, antiquer. She grew up in a thrift shop in New York City. Her mom had a thrift store, I believe.
Oh.
And I grew up in an antique shop in Chicago.
Oh, your parents owned an antique shop?
My grandma did, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I grew up going to auctions and flea markets and estate sales.
So you're into that stuff?
Yeah.
Did you wash the shirt before you wore it?
Absolutely not. No, I did
not. No way.
I did not.
That's not the rule.
I didn't have time to wash it and then steam it. Like, there's not a wrinkle in the shirt.
Wait, is it steamed?
No.
Oh, you were like, oh.
Straight off the rack.
Damn.
$3.99 and we're here with you today.
It looks really good.
It's Pierre Cardin.
Damn. I don't know who that is.
Old French designer.
Yeah, for $3.99.
Yeah.
Damn.
I love a hunt.
So the whole album, Born, drops at the end of the month.
April 26th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that whole thing you wrote in that studio with the producer because of the City on Fire.
It started with City on Fire, mm-hmm. right? That's because of it. And then we got pregnant and I just found this outlet. I was like, I'm just going to write music for this child. Originally, it was for our home birth. I wanted to like write an album for us to give birth to.
Wow, you were really part of this pregnancy, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like.
Do you feel like more than most partners in a way? Because you're talking about as if like you were
pregnant too.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I wasn't, but energetically, you know, we've been through a lot and there is this like singularity in our relationship that is really beautiful. And we've been dreaming about this kid for so long. And I felt this child early on, the spirit, the soul of this child was in our house very early. And I started dreaming songs. She would come to me in dreams and I would hear full songs, lyrics, melodies, the whole thing. I'd wake up in the morning and I would write these songs down. And that's how the majority of this album was written.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you write all of it?
I wrote everything.
And I saw your brother directed the...
He did, yeah.
And he's... How young is he?
He's 18 months younger than me.
Oh, so not crazy.
No, yeah.
Wow, you grew up really close in age.
Really close, yeah. He lives in Colorado now. He does a lot of videography for, you know, the Colorado music scene and does weddings and he was
he's
in...
He's a cutie, too.
Yeah, real cute. Yeah. We just knocked out 5 videos in 4 days. And
oh, so you have a video lined up for a bunch of other songs?
A bunch, yeah. A bunch. A new single comes out tonight, which is the 12th.
He said, right, she I saw said. That.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
it going to be called?
He said, she said. This like bi ballad.
A bi ballad.
A bi ballad. We need more of those, I feel like.
Are there bi ballads?
I mean, I'm not going to JoJo Siwa and coin the term, you know, queer pop here right now.
Oh,
but
my God. How are you feeling about that?
Good on you, girl.
Yeah.
Live your life.
Yeah, live your life.
Live your life.
I mean, yeah, she's getting some heat right now.
I can't imagine growing up the way that she did.
Yeah.
With that sort of, you know, it's, yeah. I mean, to navigate child fame and then to become an adult, it's good on you.
Yeah,
good on you.
You're not judging. You don't seem like a judgmental person.
Well, I don't have time for that. Honestly, it's like, if you're putting anything out in the world, props.
Yeah
because it's not easy at all.
Tell me about growing up. So you grow up very Italian parents in Chicago.
Yeah.
In a suburb,
North Shore.
And what were you like?
Honestly, not that different than
really
I am today. I think I was probably more of an asshole. I always knew that this is what I was going to do.
Like entertainment.
Yeah.
Really?
For sure. No questions asked. I mean, there are stories. We had a bar in the city and there are stories of me being like 4 or 5 years old, going up to all the regulars and signing autographs and serving shots. And
stop.
Yeah. I just knew it very early on.
Did your parents support?
Yeah, for sure.
They helped you make the dream come true?
Yeah, I definitely could not have done all of this. I mean, my mom was driving me into the city. I was in a show in Chicago for like 3 years, a theater production where I played all three brothers. And I missed school every Wednesday for matinees. We were doing 8 shows a week and auditions and on-camera classes. I mean, it was a full-time job.
So you didn't go to college?
I went for a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't for me.
No?
No.
So your parents weren't like, at least have like an education to fall back on?
There was no fallback plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I like conjured another version of my life that I was pretty dedicated to. I was either like going to go to school for botany. I had this whole plan of like sustainable architecture and plants.
Uh-huh.
And, or I was going to move to LA and be an actor.
So you did that.
Yeah, I was in college in Chicago for a year.
Oh, that's where, that's
where I met Bethany.
The art school.
Yeah, I was at Columbia College in Chicago. And I transferred to Loyola Marymount my sophomore year. And I was there for 6 weeks, maybe. And I dropped out. And I started working within a few months.
In LA?
Yeah.
Really?
I had an agent in Chicago just because I grew up doing it in Chicago. And they had a sister agency in LA. Mm-hmm. And I started auditioning and I got like real close on a few things. I was almost in Big Time Rush, which would have been a whole other version of my life as the Nickelodeon boy band.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, I started modeling pretty seriously.
Yeah.
When I was like 18, 19, and then started booking TV. And
you have really good teeth.
Thank you.
They're yours?
They are all my teeth.
Damn. Did you have braces?
I did.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When you were younger?
High school.
Huh.
I want to tell you about Quince if you haven't heard about it, because I want to help you transform the way you shop and upgrade your wardrobe and get some luxury essentials at really, really great prices. Quince has some really good stuff, you guys. I'm talking cashmere sweaters for $50, cotton sweaters that are organic, silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and that's all from Quince. And Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They partner with top factories. They just cut out the middleman, and that's how we are getting all these savings. I have so many Quince stuff, and like, I just, everyone around me like knows about Quince, and I'm so impressed. I'm like, oh my God, you shop there? And I'm like, oh, duh. Like, I'm not the only one that knows about, you know, all the secrets of the trade. I have a really great cashmere, like short sleeve cashmere sweaters from them, linen tops, both long and short, linen pants, really good white ones that I wore throughout the summer, including to the US Open. So Quince has some really good stuff, you guys. Time to check it out and indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/notskinny for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Yep, that's 1 year. That's Quince, quince.com/notskinny to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/notskinny. Okay, you guys are always asking me, Amanda, what should we watch? What's coming up? What's new? What's hot right now? And let me tell you about this new show that's coming out exclusively on Stars and the Stars app. It's called Mary and George, and it's starring the ultimate, iconic, timeless, gorgeous, talented Julianne Moore. and Nicholas Galitzine, who you've seen everywhere lately. Like, he is just amazing. I'm so excited to see these two act together. I mean, the talent is just crazy and I can't wait. Okay, so Mary and George is inspired by the true story that's almost unbelievable of Mary Villiers, who molded her beautiful and charismatic son, George, to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. So through outrageous scheming, this pair, this mother and son pair, rose from humble beginnings to become the richest, most titled, and influential players the English court had ever seen. I am so excited for this show. I'm so excited to see Julianne and Nicholas together. I love this like old kingdom, you know, rivalries and manipulation and scheming and power and all that stuff. Oh, it's going to be so good. So don't miss the season premiere of Mary and George, April 5th, only on Stars and the Stars app. Watch Mary and George only on Stars and the Stars app.
Okay, so you meet Bethany in college.
I do.
Does she move out to LA with you?
Not right away. She finished school in Chicago. I was dating in LA. I moved in with this girl and who was the same age difference as Josh and Liza, actually.
Oh, you know, I was wondering if you experienced that kind of vibe. Yeah,
for sure.
What's that age? Like 50, 10?
More than that. 15 years.
15 years.
Yeah.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. And
did you say that on the audition for Younger?
I didn't. No.
You didn't?
No. That was I went into a casting office. I got the script. It was like covered in tattoos. And
who was?
Had piercings. Oh. That was like the description of the character. Mm-hmm. So I think I just like wore a tank top and put big earrings in and just like went.
And you
in
had
and did
tattoos already?
I did. Not as many as I have now.
Yeah.
On Younger was definitely an excuse to just keep getting more and more tattoos.
Do you regret any of them?
I don't know that I would get any if I didn't have any at this point.
Huh.
But I think the like technology to take them away is only getting better.
That's how what I tell myself.
Yeah, I have.
Did you get your baby's name tattooed?
Not yet.
What?
I know.
That's very non-tattoo of guy of you.
Listen, I get it. This last year has been just so crazy transitional.
Get that tattoo before that baby notices.
I really want to do the kids' names on my neck. Really?
Yeah?
Really small.
Okay.
Really, really small.
But like on the Adam's apple? Yeah,
all the kids' names just down.
All the kids?
Uh-huh.
How many kids you want?
Four at least.
No.
Yeah.
And you have something to tell us today.
I do. We haven't said this at all. I mean, I think by the time this episode comes out, we will have shared. But
yeah,
we have another baby on the way.
So Bethany's pregnant?
Bethany's pregnant.
Oh.
We were 14 weeks today.
14 weeks.
Yeah.
That's the beginning. How's she feeling?
You know. I mean,
I know it's really gross.
Every day is different. Some days are a lot better than others. She's having a much easier time this round than with Kilmer.
Oh, good.
You know, but your second, it's just like...
And you're also taking care of the first.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You have much less time to think about being pregnant.
That's true. You're not like looking at the app.
Right.
Like I used to know the day that I turn like the next
exactly.
week.
How
and the
big
fruit.
The baby is. Yeah, the fruit.
And now you're like, oh, asparagus?
We forget that we're pregnant all the time.
Stop.
No. You're like how I say we're pregnant.
Yeah. You're part of it.
Honestly, I would give it all up to be able to carry a child.
I believe you.
I absolutely.
Like I wouldn't believe any person that would say this, but like I was thinking about this as I was saying before that you're really part of the pregnancy. Mm. And I'm like, I feel like you'd carry.
In a second. I feel like I have this like ghost womb, to be honest with you.
You have a ghost womb.
A ghost womb.
Wait, can I ask if it was easier this time around?
To get pregnant?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story. The first time,
You were very open
episodes.
About it, that it.
We had a rough time.
Yeah.
And we went through IVF and we wound up having to take a break in IVF. And then we got pregnant naturally, which in this like crazy fluke situation.
Oh.
Yeah. And this time around, we started trying to get pregnant, I think, in December. We're like, all right, it's time. Let's go.
It's time. The baby's...
Because we just want,
you want
a handful. Bethany's 37. You know, we just like...
You're going to pop them out.
We just got to keep going.
Oh, my God.
And we did a round of IUI in December.
What is IUI?
IUI is basically just like a turkey-based situation.
It's the step before...
IVF.
Yeah.
And it didn't take. And we were moving. I mean, we packed up two houses here in New York and New Jersey, rented an RV. I got a 12-foot trailer on the back of this RV to put all of my plants in. And we have like 100 plus plants that we wanted to take down to Florida. We left in an ice storm. Every single plant died in the trailer. Like, Bethany's in the back with the baby. I'm driving all the way down through ice storm.
Wait, did you drive just for the plants and the plants died? Does Bethany support these things?
I think...
Like, I would kill
Bethany's grandparents had an RV growing up, so I think there was this, like, romantic
like
idea.
Like, a vibe
yeah,
that you do it,
but
yeah.
That's not at all what the
like
situation
was. Like, it wasn't
was.
Romantic.
No. I mean, you would have to pay her lots of money to get back into an RV. I was, like, jokingly looking at RVs a few weeks ago, like, you know, a vintage Dodge Travco or something, and it's not an option at all.
With the baby in an ice storm,
yeah.
Or what, does it take like 25 hours to get to Florida?
Yeah, it's a big chunk of time. We did it over 4 days.
Yeah, for the plants.
For the plants, yeah.
That died.
The plants died night one. We like got on the road at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I have never driven an RV that size before. And when you have a trailer behind it, like you just have zero control of, I couldn't back up. Like, and I'm fucking nervous driving this thing. Like, we get out of New Jersey and it's getting dark. And I'm like, I'm not driving when it's dark out right now. Like, we pull over, we stay in a hotel for the night because we weren't going to sleep in the RV. And it dropped down below zero. And I just knew. And we had like all these crazy exotic cactus.
And they all
I'm
died.
Like heartbroken. About
oh,
it. Yeah.
Is that like a lot of money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had some really rare
so
plants.
So you get there and you just took them to the trash?
Pretty much. There's wow. one that's still in the house that's like barely holding on. But
wait, so
all
the
of
crazy,
this to
yeah,
say, yeah, all this to say, like we weren't really trying. Like Bethany was ovulating basically like when we were driving down.
Uh-huh.
And we get to Florida after this wild adventure of a trip. And Bethany's like, should we try? I'm like, yeah, let's christen this house, baby. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And so we had sex once during the cycle. And
it took.
We got pregnant. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
That is amazing.
First night in Florida. This baby like is coming in so powerful already. I said we're having a boy, which
you
we
already
just found
know.
Out. Yeah,
you're
we know.
You did the. Did you do like a gender reveal, or are you anti that stuff?
We did not. We're not anti gender reveal. I think like the first time around, we, you know, it's like on paper, us doing a gender reveal is like
right.
so ridiculous, but yeah. like we appreciate it, and I think the first time around, it like really made it feel more real. You know what I mean?
To know that it's a girl.
To know who was coming.
Yeah.
And we had such a hard time getting pregnant that
right.
it just like, yes, we wanted to know. And the second time around, we, you know, you do all the tests and, you know, to see what's going on with the baby. And that was just part of it.
Right.
And our
That's fun that you're going to have a girl and a boy.
We're so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're so excited. Our midwife, it's kind of a silly story though, but we found this amazing midwife in Vero Beach and she told us we were going to get an email with the gender, right? And it was going to be like inside the email. And we were going to send it to a friend to like do something cute just for us, not like to blast it out. But in the subject line of the email, it says, congratulations, you're having a boy. Bethany's like, I know.
Oh my God.
It's a very sweet little video that we have
oh.
of that moment.
Oh, so you have a video?
Yeah.
How did you whip out the camera so fast when you're getting
the email?
Because
she was like, go get your camera, go
oh,
get your
okay.
camera.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's a dream.
So the midwife fucked up a little bit.
No, I think... You know how in the subject line, like it gives you sometimes like, or I guess it's not the subject, like you get an abbreviated version of the email, maybe in Slack or something. I don't know exactly
what,
how it works.
You mean it prompts you?
Yeah. And it was in the prompt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Or maybe that's what she told you.
I guess.
Wait, are you going to do another
like
tent water birth?
Oh, we brought our tent down.
Oh, the tent is ready to
yeah,
go.
The tent is a very sacred space for us. We set it up more just for the last trimester, really just to have like a space we could go and connect as a family. And we had an altar in there and we would just like spend time together, right? And the midwives came over right before we had the baby and they were like, that's cute and all, but there's no way we're having birth in this tent.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, Bethany's labor was really quick. There was no like initial labor. She went straight into active labor, basically. And at one point, she gets out of the bathtub and hits the floor and just starts crawling to the tent. And like, I open up the curtain. I go, it's time to have a baby. Within a couple hours, we had a baby. Just
oh
she
God.
Was on all fours, just giving birth. There was no No water in the tent.
Is it like you both of you kind of grew up together?
Yeah.
But like you're so on the same page with stuff. Mm. Like if she wanted like a hospital birth and she wanted, you know, the drugs.
Yeah.
And not a tent with an altar.
If we were in a hospital come last hour of this birth, like she would have taken all the drugs for sure.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
Yeah.
Like we knew it was going to be hard. Yeah. But she did not know it was going
to
be
But she still
hard.
Wants to do it again this way.
Yeah.
You kind of forget. Hillary Duff did like four.
She's had a few. I think she's supposed to have another baby right now.
Right, she's supposed to have it. Yeah. Did you talk to her about that?
Oh, yeah.
Stuff?
She inspired a lot of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw the video of her first home birth. And I mean, we spent so much time together during her pregnancies. Looking back at it, I can't believe she worked as much as she did
pregnant
on the show multiple times.
Right.
Like, wild, superhuman, that girl. Superhuman.
Yeah. Women are pretty superhuman.
Yeah. Bow down. That's part of what I was saying earlier about like understanding the difference now.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like these things exist for a reason. Mm. And I think they deserve a level of just like gratitude.
So your perspective did change a little bit.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And it doesn't erase.
Right.
Right. It just like it's yes. And
yes. And
there's so much more.
Because like a lot of people, for instance, you know, were surprised when you and Bethany got married because it's like, wait, they're so non-traditional and they're so this and that. Like, why would they do this traditional thing?
Yeah.
What was your answer to that?
I mean, in a lot of ways, we are pretty traditional.
Mm.
You know, I think like also
living in Florida.
We're living in Florida, right? We're having babies.
You're having babies.
Yeah. But also just like COVID changed a lot of our relationship. It was the first time that like we weren't sleeping with anyone else. Mm. You know, we became this like very monogamous.
Like, don't want to bring COVID
couple.
Home.
Yeah, exactly. And like we really haven't since. Like we have not had an open relationship. Not that like the option is gone, but like we've just spent so much time together dedicating ourselves to procreating, right? To like bringing in a version that is half Bethany, half me. And like that's just left very little time to even consider a secondary or tertiary relationship.
Yeah.
Not that it's off the table, but like
raising kids
is a full-time job. Yeah. I cannot imagine at this point, like leaving my family to go get my rocks off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows what the future holds? For real. Who knows?
But right now you're monogamous.
And madly in love with my family.
That's so cute.
I mean, I'm like more dedicated to this unit than anything I've ever been involved with. And I just want to keep growing it.
Yeah.
Like after you have a kid, everything else seems like so much less important.
It's true.
You can't wrap your head around that unless you have a child.
Right. That's really exciting. I'm glad you guys are bringing another one into the world and that it went easier this time. Were you prepared for like another journey?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the first time around, there is really something beautiful about, you know, going down the IVF route and having a more difficult time. Like, it really preps you for what's to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I honor all of that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm very excited for you guys. And especially since, you know, you were so open about that stuff with your community online and everything with the fertility and the IVF. And boy, you guys like to take naked pictures together. You really like it.
I guess.
You feel really comfortable naked, huh?
Yeah. I mean, especially now. I'm truly in a bathing suit 100% of my time in Florida.
On the beach.
Yeah.
And in the pool.
Yeah.
Are you going to name your kid something?
We've got the name.
You do?
We do. Locked and loaded. Ready to go.
Oh. Is it going to be Michael all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be like Benjamin Michael.
Charles III.
And how's your sobriety doing? I know you've been pretty open about that too.
Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 10 years since I've had any booze.
Wow. Do you smoke weed?
I do sometimes. Not really. I go through phases with weed for sure. Like when we first had Kilmer, I was definitely smoking. It would just like make keeping house a little bit more interesting. There's like a dedication when you smoke weed on a regular basis that just, I sound like such a fucking stoner right now, but like it just like opened space. And as a dad, I don't know, it just like worked for me in those first few months. But yeah, it's good for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like always a thing.
It's always a thing.
Never really goes away. Yeah. I mean, I'm like addicted to life. I know that that sounds a little crazy, but like I put so much of myself into everything that I do that yeah. those tendencies kind of exist everywhere.
Well, you get obsessed with stuff. So you're yeah. obsessed with fishing now.
Yeah, I fish a lot.
And with what else?
Well, the music has really been the this music. Like new dedication, you know?
Would you want to go on like tour and stuff?
Yeah, I think that's the plan. I started working with this manager. His name's Martin. He reps Sting and Shaggy. And like I'm in this little family that like feels very big and real. And the music's already doing a really cool thing. And more's coming out. And what I was saying earlier, it was like the whole album was initially for this home birth. And it very quickly became something else. And the album kind of tracks Grapefruit is kind of this like inception track. It's like the act to get pregnant. It honors the, you know, mm-hmm. the womb in a lot of ways.
Was your music playing at the home birth?
The whole home birth, yeah.
Bethany is a very lovely woman.
She is, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I would be a little triggered.
I mean, it was such a part of our whole experience, though. And like, I was writing it as...
You're like there, your music is playing. She's like dying. Well, I'd be like...
The title track for the pregnancy was Santa Madre, which is honoring the mother saint. And it was like all for Bethany. And so there's this 10-minute version that was basically just on repeat. And she came out to that song.
Wow. Yeah. That's so special.
So special.
So this baby's going to need...
He's already getting stuff. It's coming out right now. Music is so interesting that like I don't really sit down and plan it. It just kind of comes. But yeah, the plan is definitely get back in the studio and keep making music. I mean, I love it so much.
Yeah.
I've always like hunted for this outlet that was.
And you have a good voice.
Thank you.
Did you always know that?
I mean, I grew up singing and dancing. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like a musical theater kid that ended in college, really. But it was always part of my life, music was. But I never took it seriously as something that I could like actually dedicate myself to.
Who was your biggest music inspiration?
Ooh, man, that question.
Prince.
I mean, is this going to be like the most basic thing I've Michael ever said Jackson. In my life?
What? Oh my God.
Dave Matthews?
Really?
Yeah.
It's not it's surprising a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he is just an absolute legend.
Dave Matthews. And like Fish.
I have been to a few Fish shows in my day.
Fish concert. Yeah,
I mean, I was a full-fledged stoner in high school.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I get the vibes.
I had Fish stickers all in the back of my car.
Really?
Yeah.
So future plans, music. Obviously, you're continuing with acting. We're talking about self-tapes and stuff.
Yeah.
Writing. Anything else you want to do?
Keep making babies.
Keep making babies.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, I have a few quick-fire questions.
Cool.
First of all, I want you to name three basic normie things that you do. That we'd be surprised.
I mean, I fish.
Right.
That's one.
Not that basic.
Yeah.
Do you watch any like reality TV?
Does Drag Race count?
A little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drag Race.
And I saw you did an episode, right?
I did.
Oh my God, it's a good one.
I did a couple.
You also did Tyler Henry.
I did, yeah.
Damn. That episode when was that?
Ooh, let's see. It was right after I got... So it was probably like 7-8 years ago.
And your mom was really emotional about it. You were
too. That was
too.
Before my mom and brother got sober. You can definitely tell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you were like, my mom said she would... This is her dying wish.
Yeah, for sure. She's had a few more dying wishes since that happened. This is the thing about wishes. Once they come true, you just fucking get more wishes.
You want more.
Yeah. No, but that was a really special experience for sure. I like, whatever it is, he got it.
Who did he connect with?
My grandpa. Your grandpa. Guy right here.
Yeah. So, and who's that woman?
That's my grandma.
That's nice.
Yeah, she was a real special one.
They had the antique shop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, really quick turn from the antique shop and grandparents that you love. We're going to do a Mary Fuck Kill real quick.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Machine Gun Kelly, Bradley Cooper, Jeremy Allen White.
I think I would probably fuck Bradley Cooper.
Okay.
So
you don't get the Jeremy Allen White hype.
I mean, I did a movie with him almost 20 years ago at this point. I've known him for a while.
Really?
Addison, so weird to close with.
Weird to fuck him, you think, in this game?
Yeah, that's just not really my thing.
Okay.
I don't really know how to answer the next two. I would.
Oh, you don't want to kill anybody.
I would probably.
Who would you marry out of Machine Gun and Jeremy?
Probably Jeremy.
Okay. Yeah.
But it could be Machine Gun, honestly.
That'd be interesting.
Depends on my mood in the morning, which one I would pick. But
okay. We got another one.
Yeah.
We have a girl one.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie. Zendaya.
Oh. I think I would. I don't want these people.
Don't kill. We'll start with fuck.
I would fuck Zendaya.
Yeah. You got most excited about that name.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I would marry Margot Robbie and I would.
Okay, MGK and Megan Fox as a couple are really offended right now.
I'm sorry, Nico. Y'all. They're probably the most that I'm like similar to.
Right, that is true. Could probably like do, no, I mean, did you do ayahuasca ever?
Lots.
Lots of ayahuasca.
Lots. I've drank 24 times.
They like that stuff.
Yeah, ayahuasca is incredible.
But incredible. That counts in the sober.
I mean, sober is all relative. I am alcohol sober.
Yeah.
I still eat mushrooms from time to time, uh-huh. smoke weed and plant medicine. And yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Bow down to the plants.
Bow down to the plants that you killed a lot of.
Yeah.
In the trailer.
In the trailer. Oh.
Nico, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you
guys, check out Nico's new music.
Born.
Your album.
April 26th.
Born.
Yeah. Grapefruit's out right now.
Grapefruit's out right now. The Bi Ballad's out right now.
The Bi Ballad, He Said, She Said, Olivette Is You.
Olivette Is You.
April
is
23rd.
Out.
Yeah.
It's out right now.
Really two ends of the media spectrum.
Really two ends. That's like, if you want a Bi Ballad, Nico, it's your guy. If
that's
you want
who
a children's
I
book,
yeah.
I know that's who you are.
All of it is you. That's it. All of it. There's no time for anything else.
All of it is you.
Yeah.
That's true. That's the message.
For sure.
Buy ballads and children's books.
Yeah.
We
and the music really is this representation of the book. Like, if you want to do something, just go and do it. That's the whole point of this kid's book. Me doing music is that.
It's a whole point of life.
You already are everything you could ever imagine. Just love fucking that. Do it.
Love that.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Not Skinny But Not Fat. Follow me on Instagram at Not Skinny But Not Fat. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. Rate the podcast that you love so much on Apple Podcasts and write a little review. If you tell me you did, I'll give you a big virtual smoocheroo. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.